Dafka Advanced.
Oh, Dafka. Okay.
And tomorrow night I have a parent-teacher conference
report. Oy vey, Nebuch. My condolences. All right, we are...
What's report card comes out when the climate's gone?
Okay. So anyway, so we are right now. It's okay because I slept through most of the class last night. So tonight I'm awake. And we're at two lines before the Mishnah, Tznina Halacha, which is actually a new issue, going relating back to the Mishnah, which we had learned to earlier, I guess. Dalet Amud seven. Two lines below two lines above the Mishnah. Tznina Halacha, we learned here, Matlotin and B'chol Sanhedrin, that which should not learn all Masechta Sanhedrin, which is an interesting concept, which is like this. If you have two sets of witnesses, the Mishnah just talked about this, the case like this. You have two sets of witnesses. One sees one claims to have seen the murder from window number one, and the other claims to have seen the window for the murder from window number two. It turns out that one of them is the Edim Zomrim. The one who claimed to be from window number two was lying. They weren't actually there. They were in Timbuktu at the time, right? So the halacha is they're killed, right? Because they thought to put this guy to death. But on the other hand, the murderer is also killed because you still have the testimony of the people at window number one, right? Which was never disproved. So it's a unique case because this is a case where the murderer is killed and the witnesses are killed. Because normally it's either the witnesses are killed or the murderer is killed, not both. Kasher Zoma. Exactly. That's what we're going to say here. Okay. So why not be chiddush by you, but it's be chiddush by the Gemara. Tzin Hachem Adelotzin and B'chol Sanhedrin. Who v'hei ne'erogin? He, the murderer, and the group of witnesses are killed. Vashni Aptur, and the second group is exempt. Because obviously the second group is one which told the truth. Now, let's read, although we're going to read the Mishnah, the Gemara immediately after the following Mishnah really should be up here. Okay, so I'll read the Mishnah anyway, so I don't have to go back, but let's bear that in mind. Rabbi Yisrael says, you never kill a murderer or any other criminal until the two witnesses were the ones who gave him Hasra. Shneimar, it says, al pi shnayim adim, on the verbal statement of the two witnesses, not just their verbal statement in court, but their verbal statement of warning to the criminal. Davrach, another interpretation, al pi shnayim adim, which would not require us to have the two adim give the warning, and that in fact is what he passed, but the warning does not have to come from the two adim, come from anybody. The rachbi, as long as the two witnesses hear the warning given to the criminal. Apishtaim Aidim means Shalote Sanhedrin Shamas Bapir Turgamat. On the basis of the say so, two witnesses means Sanhedrin should not hear from an interpreter, meaning there has to be at least some members of the Sanhedrin understand the language in which the testimony is given. Not all the members of the Sanhedrin have to know, but some of the members of the Sanhedrin must know the language in which the testimony is given.
Didn't they have to know 71?
It seems they didn't. Well, first of all, that was L'chat Chila. But if they didn't all know L'chat, then, you know, but yeah, it would suffice if some of them knew. Probably not everybody in Sanhedrin knew Swahili. You know, probably was never the case that everybody in all members of Sanhedrin knew Swahili. So therefore, they have to, but yeah, it worked out. Tani Rabbi Yesha. We learn Rabbi Yeshua said, Apostle said, Omar Bishnei Kite Eidim. This apostle is talking about when there are two sets of witnesses, one from one window and the other from the other window. Remember, I told you this goes back in the previous issue. And what is okay and what is not. Okay? Kiyokim Eid Chomas Bish. When there's an Eid Chomas Bish, Eid Zomeim, when there's an Eid Chomas, meaning a witness which is, literally, it's a thieving witness, but it means here an improper group of witnesses, right? Whenever it says eight in the Torah, it doesn't just mean one witness, it means two witnesses. So an improper group of witnesses, b'ish. Eid zomim, shu'one b'ish. It's the eidim zomim who respond against the individual, meaning they pertain to this individual. La nos bo, v'lo beidu so. If they go against him, However, they don't impinge upon the other testimony, meaning that if you have two separate groups, one of which was found to be Eidim Zomim, it doesn't impinge on the testimony of the other group. The testimony of the other group is legitimate. Those people who are window number one are not impinged by the alleged witnesses of window number two who turn out to be Eidim Zomim. So that's why in this case we can kill both the murderer and the Eidim Zomim. Okay?
Together.
Right, they didn't go, well, no, but the mice, when they were in front of Basin, they were at the same time, simultaneously in front of the court.
Don't they get Rishon V'Chakira separately,
anyway? Yes, that's true. No, agree. We're saying they do, they would have been in the court at the same, even the court at the same time, you know, they're still considered to be, they're still considered to be separate. Okay, maybe, but again, maybe it's not such a big Kiddush, obviously, but the Mara felt...
This isn't a Babli, it's not
empty. No, it's not, this is not a Babli. This statement is not about Babli.
Okay, I recall this case.
The case is the Mishnah. Obviously, the Mishnah is in common between the Babli and the Yerushalmi, but this specific drush is not in the Babli. Okay, Eidim Zomim Ma'ushayu Tzir Mekabel Aschoya. The Eidim Zomim have to be forewarned before they're put to death, now, which is would be a neat trick, because really, when at what point in the testimony are you going to warn them? But to best of my knowledge, we pass in this way. But I'm not sure 100%. You don't have to be warned. Every other pair of criminal activity in the Torah, if we're going to punish you, we have to warn you. You know, we give you asra in order to give you whether malchus or misa or whatever punishment we intend to inflict upon you. By Eidim Zomim, that's not the case. By Eidim Zomim, we do not have to warn them ahead of time. Which makes sense, if you think about it. I never really thought it through until I prepared this yesterday, but it makes sense. Because by any other way in the Torah, there's no indication of premeditation unless there's a straw. Because there's no other way of this sort until I think, which is really entails a plot to lie. And it's unplotted to lie. But by definition, they knew what they were doing is wrong. They plotted to go and lie. So therefore, in this case, you can't say it was done on the spur of the moment, because they coordinate their testimony, everything they did, they plotted ahead of time. So therefore, it's known to have been a premeditated crime, regardless of whether warning took place or not. Okay, so that's why Eidim Zomim would seem to not require us wrong.
Person knows not to kill or not to
say. No. Person might do it on the spur of the moment. Those could be crimes of passion.
Right.
Eidim Zomim is not a crime of passion. Chilul right. Shabbos could be a crime of passion, right? And most avodas in the Torah, which have to do with acts, can be crimes of passion. Eidim Zomim is one of the unique avodas in the Torah which has to do with speech. Now, even other avodas have to do with speech. Avodah Zarah, you know, person can commit it as a crime of passion. It's also a crime of passion. Right? Cursing your parents.
Yeah. Right.
Cursing a Kaddish Baruch Hu is also a kind of passion. But Eidim Zomim is unique of any Torah which require, I think. Okay, you can
unless
keep.
You really have it into that person.
No, but there's still two witnesses have to coordinate the Sarah, the test story, because it's two people. They have to plot together. So that's why Eidim Zomim makes sense to be the only Avodah Torah which doesn't require
a Torah.
Not a spontaneous one. Right. Okay, makes sense. Okay, I really never thought it through, but it does make sense. Amr Avaravo said, Lo Chashina Lahom. The way the Kshari Teresol means, we don't suspect that they're going to do it on the spur of the moment and not have known that it's prohibited, because obviously it requires plotting and premeditation. Amr Rabbi Yaakov Bardime, Bardasi, whatever the name is, V'East Nevoilin, are their lowlifes, a novel is a lowlife. Sagin, who are greater, should be min Elaine than these people. These are the worst scum of the earth, right? These Eidim Zomim, right? Which may be the reason he's not requiring Hasra. Either it's an agadic statement, or he's explaining why they don't require Hasra, because they're the greatest scum in the world. They see that their friend is going to go out to be killed because of their testimony, right? They framed him. Velo Ami included, they don't say anything to prevent it. They're the lowest scum in the earth. Okay? Interesting statement.
Well, what happens? Show is the purpose of the
Yeah.
So he's trying to say that
they're scum.
They're amazing.
Yeah, they're amazing. Right. That's it. Probably is made in that context.
Those,
excuse me. Okay. So says now for the Kazakh Kol Chazish Nebini Adam. This is a case which is in the Bible as well. Kazakh Kol Chazish Nebini Adam. You have to, I think. You wrote all your property to two individuals simultaneously. And you signed witnesses on the documents, which were kosher from one of the individuals to whom you made this kinyan, and also to the other one. In other words, they're related to one of the people to whom you have written your property. Rabbi Liel Amai Spagon, Rabbi Yochanan Rishim Elokish. Rabbi Liel says that we certainly had this before in the Yerushalmi, I should say. Rabbi Liel says Rabbi Yochanan Rishim Elokish had a machlokus about this case. Chayim are once in Me'achos Shem Psulim Zeh. Say you should both the mitzvahs or both the kulas. It's they're no good for part of the document. They're no good for the other part of the document. The chorona might the other said kshem mazev kshem tzum zeh. They're kosher for one apostle for the other. There's a whole Reb Chaim on this machlokas, if I recall correctly. Reb Chaim speaks about the concept of edim hachasum lashtar nasik mishenech kroy dusim evaisdin. You know, does it mean that this is as if the entire document is one piece of testimony, and therefore Eidus Shabbat Lamitzos Abad Lakula, which would mean that they're possible for the entire document, right? The whole testimony is canceled. Or when we say that it's as if this document has been accepted as testimony, it basically means each part of the testimony independently. In other words, it's not the document qua as a document, right? But it's the testimony of the document independently, and therefore we could say that the parts for which they're good, and the parts which they're bad are bad. I think it's a very long shtickle in Reb Chaim, but I believe that that's basically the gist of it. I didn't look at it tonight. Raimana lo mefaresh. Raimana didn't say who said what in this machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi, turning the page, Rabbi Avu mefaresh. Rabbi Avu said who said what. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said, Me'achar Shem, Psul Mezeh, Psul Mezeh. Since they're possible for one part, they're possible for the other part. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kshem Mezeh, Psul Mezeh, they're kosher for one, and possible for the other. Rabbi Elazar, in other words, you can divide the documents in half. Rabbi Elazar, Elazar, Masnisa, Messiah, Rabbi Yochanan. I have the following braisa, which is proof for Rabbi Yochanan. Amash Naim, actually it's in the Mishnah. I know it's Pagir and Nemanos. They don't have credibility vis-a-vis the other person. Pagir and Nemanos is where we give you credibility. Maybe it is Pagir and Nemanos. But Pagir and Nemanos usually has to do with when you actually verbally state something. I don't know Pagir and Nemanos.
Sure.
Yeah, I think there's more a question of how we define Nasuka Mishnah Chredus of a basin. But you might be right. Maybe it is an issue of Pagir and Nemanos. If we had time to look into it, we might come up with something like that. Next time around, right? Not when we're 30-something left. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Me'achash Psulim Zeh, Psulim Zeh. Rabbi Yochanan says, since they're possible one, they're possible the other. Rabbi Shimon Lokesh Amar, Kshem Lezeh, Psulim Zeh. Rabbi Lozva said, right, I went back a few lines. Masnisa, the following Mishra beside Rabbi Yochanan, proof Rabbi Yochanan that they're possible altogether. Apostle, just like if you have two people and one of them is a korov, is a relative or apostle or not valid witness, he doesn't pay the aid, this is null and void. So the three nimtzachim and korov apostle, one is found to be a korov apostle, he doesn't pay the witness testimony, it's not null and void. Minayin afilu mea, we know it's true even if there are 100 witnesses, they all become voided if they're all part of the same group. Tam lomer edim, because the apostle says edim plural. Edim means they all become possible. Rabbi Agarachah Maris Balgun, Rabbi Yochanan said this, Malchulish and Rabbi Chanina, Chavin, the Rabban, Rabbi Chanina, the friend of the rabbis, Rabbanin and the rabbis. Chayim once said, Yosef, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer said good, meaning that this is a good parallel to Edish Abadla Mitzosa Batla Kula, to the concept of where you have a group of witnesses, one is possible, they all become possible. The Chanam Chonam Aliyah said, Lo Amar Rabbi Lazarus. One said, no, this is not comparable. Madam Ayos, my beloved, you said it's comparable. Nasa Keidus Achas Vasra Achas. This is why I think it's really a concept of what the kinds of witnesses signed on the documents, if they cross examine the court, what that means. Because the way he puts it here, he says, Man again, man the Mahu says Yosem Rabbi Lozer said good. Nasakinus Akos Basar Echas means any time you have a document becomes like one testimony with one warning, meaning that it's as if it's all said under the same gun, meaning it's all one long testimony. And therefore, just like if you have witnesses, as we said last night, if you have witnesses who said a statement in court and part of the statement is no good, the entire statement is considered to be no good. Manda mar lo mar Rebbe Lozer's comparison was not good is on a document, each part of testimony stands by itself because it wasn't linked. When you testify verbally, the parts of your statement which are made together are linked together. But here, Basedin culls the testimony out of the document. So therefore they cull it, so to speak, in swaths as they take it out of the document. And therefore there's no inherent linkage between the one which you're pulsing for and the one which you're cushioning for. That's how I think Reb Chaim learns the sugya, okay, from memory. Okay? It becomes like two separate sets of witnesses. Ksherim l'edim, ksherim l'zeh, psuim l'zeh. Where the kosher for one and possible for the other. Okay, halacha ches. Misha nikmar yudino. Somebody whose case was determined. He was sentenced. Uvorach. And he fled. Uvorach comes back from the same court. Ain't sosim as dino. They don't cancel his sentence. They meet it out. Koma komshim. This fact he ran away doesn't merit him a retrial. Not only that, any place where two people stand up, two witnesses, and they say, me and Moni Bishpoli would testify about this individual, he was sentenced in so-and-so's court, and they remember, this I guess is crucial, that so Reuven and Shimon were the witnesses in that court case, I guess that's to verify that the court case is legitimate. This individual is killed because that way we know the sentence actually took place. Okay? So even if they testify it was sent somewhere else, that's enough. Sanhedrin oigas boritz of chutzlorets. Sanhedrin and the halachas of Sanhedrin apply both in Eretz and chutzlorets. Sanhedrin oigas, famous of Mishnah. Sanhedrin oigas echo b'shuvah. Sanhedrin kills once every 7 years. Nikra chavonis is called a bloodthirsty, a damaging Sanhedrin, literally. If they killed it once every 70 years, that would be a bloodthirsty basin. They never met Texas. Rabbi Tavra, Rabbi Kiva says, to say, Eloi, you know, Sanhedrin, were we in the Sanhedrin? Lo ne'arag ba'odam, the only person that we killed in the Bavli, of course, goes through discussion of how they would have made all the Adam stumble on the cross-examination. Okay. If you don't ever kill anybody, then we don't have the deterrent effect, and there are going to be more murderers in Klal Yisrael. Okay? From the Attila the Hun School of Jurisprudence. Okay. Sanhedrin Nohegis Baharitz of Chutzlaritz. Sanhedrin applies both in Eretz. These for you should be for the law of justice, for your generations, for chomosh v'seichem, in all your settlements. Whenever it says moshim chomosh v'seichem in Torah, it refers to both Eretz and Chutz Laretz. Matam lo mashofti mashofti didein l'cho b'chol sharecho. Alright, so what do we do with that? It says, put judges and police in all of your gates. Sounds like, does not sound like Bore Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't sound like it means in, it actually goes on, it's based on the rest of the pasuk, says, Bore Tashem Lokechem Dosein Lecha. I forget the exact language of the rest of the pasuk. Does he bring it down here? No, he doesn't bring it down here. But that's the rest of Shotim Shotim. Dosein Lecha Bechol Artzecha. Asher Hashem Lokechem Dosein Lecha Nachal Olerishtav Shoftu Asar Mishpat Tzedek. Trust me, that's the rest of the pasuk. Don't trust me, but it is the rest of the pasuk. Anyway, so it sounds like Dafkan Eretz Yisrael. Ela Shebaale Yisrael, but in Eretz Yisrael, so this is the difference. In Eretz Yisrael, Moshin Dainim Chol Ir V'Ir. There has to be judges in each and every city. V'chutz L'Eretz Moshin V'Yisrael Pluachim Pluachim. In Chutz L'Eretz to do it district by district. And that's the distinction. Eretz Yisrael, B'chol Sharecha, every city. Chutz L'Eretz only district by district.
And that's assuming that the government
will let you do that. Right, right. Okay.
Is it only the districts adjacent to Eretz Yisrael?
No, it's in America too. Okay. Tali, wherever you get permission. Tali, Rabbi Yisroel, Rabbi Yani, Omer, Mitzvah called Shevet Shiedat Shifto. It's a mitzvah. Every Shevet to have its own Shevet basin. See, Shotim, Shotim, Diten Lecho, Bechol Sharecha, Asher Hashem Lokecho, Nosein Lecho, Lishvotecho. Oh, it doesn't say Baratzucha? Oh, so it's a good thing you didn't trust me when I said that. I'm pretty sure, though, it says Baratzucha on that pasuk. No, I just need a sitter. Can I have that sitter over there on the table? No, it's Dvar.
You mean Dvar?
Shoftim is in Dvar.
Well, it is Dvar. But it's the beginning of the pasuk, so it'll be the first.
I have it. No, I made up the pasuk. Never trust me. Shoftim shall treat the tail of Kabachal Shrecha Shah Shamakach and Hussein Lakash Batel, Lichbatecha, Bishoftuas Amishbat Sedek. It don't say nothing about in the land. I guess it's just from the language of B'chol Sharecha means, sounds like an Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I apologize. I made up a pasuk before. Okay. So in any event, so, but in any event, the Yushami does hold that this thing of B'chol Sharecha is Dafkan Eretz Yisrael, and I assume Shvatecha also is Dafkan Eretz Yisrael in the lands where they each Shevet is settled. Tan Rishim and Gamliel, Rishim Gamliel teaches us, Mechuyavim Yisrael Sheboruch Min Arts L'Chutz Arts, a very famous halacha also in the Bavli, people who are sentenced to death who fled from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Arts, Mimisim Osoa Miyad. We kill them wherever we find them, meaning in Chutz Arts, whatever court there is, kills them there. Baruch Hu Chutz Arts Erev L'Eret L'Aret Erev, they fled from Chutz Arts Eretz Yisrael. Ein Mimisim Osoa Miyad. We don't kill them on the basis of whatever judgment was rendered against them. Chutz Arts, El Adonim B'Tchila, we give them a retrial. So coming to Eretz Yisrael, actually because of the schus of Eretz Yisrael, we give them a retrial when they find themselves before the court in Israel. Okay, next parak. Eluena Goyim, these are the people who go into exile. Now you must know that in order to traverse this parak successfully, you only go into exile if you're a true shogeg, if you truly killed unintentionally. If you were, however, korov lemezid, close to intentional, but you're criminally negligent, you don't go into exile. And you're perennially, potentially subject to the goyel hadam killing you. Right? It means your entire life you are living in fear.
What if you were careless? So you're negligent, but you didn't really intend.
Well, that could be. It depends. So that's what we're going to discuss. What falls? Obviously, the three categories. So the question of what the parameters of categories are. Then, on the other end, the other category is shogeg korov l'ones, where you were close to being, you know, an act of God. In that case, you don't go into ghost, but the goyel adam cannot kill you. It could be. It's also in Marcos. Okay, Elena Gol. These are the people who go into Gol. Haring Nevish Pishkogos. Somebody who kills unintentionally. Hayam Agam Magila. If a person was rolling with a rolling pin on his roof. Okay, it's not really a rolling pin. It's a straight, it's a smooth, a trowel of some sort. Nafla Lavarakto. And it fell on somebody and killed him. Okay, Hayam Mishal Shabachal Chavis. He was raising a bucket or a jug. Not love Arakto, and it fell on the guy and killed him. Hayyori Besulam, you were going down a ladder. The Nafla Lover Ago, and he fell upon him and killed him. I raised the girl to go to Golus. Okay, that's all Derech Yerida on the way down. Avol, however, Hayamoshech Bamagila, in other words, he was pulling it up towards him. It wasn't going to downstroke, but an upstroke. The Nafla Lover Ago, it sort of fell on the guy and killed him. Hayyadab Bechavis, He was, oh no, Moshe, one second. Yeah, Moshe was on the upswing. Or Hayadola B'chavis, he was lifting, I made a mistake for him. Mishal Shchavis is when he was lowering the bucket. Now he's raising the bucket. There's and the rope snapped and fell upon him and killed him. He's going up a ladder of love and he fell upon him and killed him. I raise the enogol, it doesn't go because this is considered to be karov leonis. On the way down is a true shogeg. On the way up is considered to be similar to an act of God. Anytime he's on his way down, he goes to Gosk and his brother learned from the apostle because his vehicle alive is going to fall upon him. Vishlova the Akhras is on his way up, so it's to the curve of Otis. There ain't no goal and he doesn't go into Gosk. Okay? Ravina Potar Chiapta is called Chevo. Ravina exempts you until you let the entire rope slip out of your hands. Meaning if the rope snaps, it's also an Otis. It's only if you're, as you're lowering it, the rope, you lose your grip and the rope slips out of your hand. That's a shogeg, and then you go into goes. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Poter, if you're using this a tool, an instrument on your roof, you have to let go of the instrument. Only then you're liable. But if it snaps in your hand, so then you're not both chayv and goes again because it's karav onus. It's more similar to an act of God. It should say here, my demar. Changing like the Korban Eidah. My demar Rabbi Huda b'psikas achevo, my demar Rabbi Shimon b'shmitas machlotzon. That which Rabbi Huda said, the other interpretations, but not only Korban Eidah because it's the most posher, that which Rabbi Huda said by psikas achevo is the same that Rabbi Huda said by the rope snap, is the same thing Rabbi Shimon said by the tool breaking. Meaning that both of them are saying the same thing. That if the thing slips out of your hands, that's a shogeg. But if it snaps or breaks in your hands, that's karav l'onis, and you wouldn't go into golus in that situation. Just one used the example of the rope snapping, and the other used the example of the tool snapping, but they're both saying the same thing. Rabbi Yirmi Boykun Ravo, Rabbi Yirmi asked in front of Rabbi Avo. I am Agaba Magila. He was using this, one of these, these implements, B'derech halichos. Now nobody's 100% sure clear what this means, but I think the pshat is like this. Halichos means it's not going down or up, but directly sideways. Okay? B'derechos avotzia los rosho. And he goes off the edge of the roof, and somebody's head, the exact time that somebody's head pops up over the side of the roof. Votzia los rosho. The other guy pops up his head. Vitichlo, and you bang it to his head. Now, according to the Shaitan, so this for initial question is talking about where you damaged him, not killed him. But the Pashas and the Gemara say you killed him. Are you Chayav Golos? So, what if, because it wasn't Aliyah or Yerida. It was direct sideways. It was horizontal motion. Not up and not down. What's the story in this case? So it says, the Gemara, Amalei said, he Aliyah, he Yerida. In this case, the same thing, it doesn't make a difference whether it's up or down, since it is sideways, but he does go into goals no matter what. Because there is a difference up and down, but not when he goes sideways. Now, that's how I learned Shalom Demar. It's not all clear that I'm right about that, because the response, he Aliyah, he Arita, is very cryptic, what exactly that means. But that's how I learned it, that sideways is, there's no Aliyah and Arita, of course, and therefore you're liable to goals no matter what. Okay? So whether it's act, when you go up and down, and up and down is relevant. Now the,
I was just trying to think in physics, you know, you have an hour going up, an hour going down. So the sideways is the combination
right.
Of the up and down.
Right. Now, of course, I don't know if that's, there's also an element here that the head was not there when you were, that's what made it a show gig, right? The head was not there when you did what you did. Otherwise, it'd be Korav Lemazin, right? But on the other hand, maybe should have been chayshish that the head was coming up. That's why it's an issue. All these, again, this is my way of learning the case, but it's not clear that this is correct, and the many other ways of learning. But sitting out, what also throws everybody off is the next case Rabbi Yirmi asks. Rabbi Yirmi, Bokum Rebo, Asper Rebo, Magila, B'derech Halichosa, what seems to be the same case. He's going to say, let's according to my version, he's going to say, raise Voshidat Tinokis Yodav Rotzitza, and a kid stuck out his hand and he chopped off the kid's hand. Now this is clearly not Misa, right? It's not right, but the question must therefore be whether he's Chayav Nezek in this case. So in this case, he says, I'm only Achachasaba, Achachtaba, you're causing me difficulty again? I already answered you before, right? He aliyah, he arida. It's same, this, it's the same thing going up, same thing going down. So, if this sounds, perhaps there's Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbi Yom is asking the same question again. And that would mean that the first question is also about Nezek. But then again, perhaps what he meant to be is, meant when he said, why are you bothering me again, is that I taught you the principle already. And the principle is that it's not an onus, right? So in other words, if a kid, even if, but on the other hand, what makes it still difficult is that we know other mordly olam. So what is even the shaila, right? You have to always be careful. When it comes to Nezek, you're always liable. Money to pay, you're always liable to pay. No matter what, you know, there don't have to be any, doesn't have to be any intentionality, right? If a person falls asleep and he rolls over, somebody's liable. But perhaps Rabbi Yirmiyah thought that this case is mamish a case of onus. And this is an ultimate onus, right? The analogous case of Abba Kama would be where you were sleeping somewhere and somebody else came and lied down next to you, and then you damaged them, which in which case you are potter, because you have no way of knowing. So, and this is saying to him, no, it's not mamish onus, right? Even though the hand was not there when you started making your motion, but since a hand could have come up, therefore you're liable to pay, it makes no difference. Okay? So again, the way I would like to learn is that we're talking about sideways motion. The first case was an issue vis-a-vis goals, and the answer was yes, there is goals. The second case is a case vis-a-vis damages, and we're saying yes, there is payment made in this case. Okay. Halacha base. Nishmara barzo mikito v'horag. Let's say you're chopping with an axe. And this is actually the case in the Chumash itself. This is really a case of, the issue is one of exegesis here. Whereas, my friend used to call it exeyoshka. You know, read the psukim in the Torah? Nishmata barzo mikito, while you're chopping an axe, the blade flew off the handle. Baragin killed. Rabbi Omer, ain't a goal, Rabbi says, you don't go to the goals, you're korbel, amazed. That's not korbel onus, right? Because, that's not shogeg. Chachomim go, chom say, do go to goals for that. If a sliver of wood shoots out of the tree while you're chopping, Rabbi Margola, Rabbi says that's the case of goals, okay? Because that's true shogeg, right? Where while you're chopping, a piece of wood flies out of the tree and hits him, that's goals. Chomi say not goal under that circumstance, that's korav leonis, okay? So the question is, what we do the pasuk? My time at the Rebbe. What's the logic of Rebbe? Nemar kan neshila. It says in the case of a horim shoy. It says v'noshal habarzel mino eitz. That's the language of the pasuk. Okay, v'noshal barzel mino eitz. The question is, what does it mean? Noshal barzel mino eitz. Does it mean that the metal flew off the hand, the wooden handle, or does it mean the metal gouged a piece out of the tree, which then flew and hit the guy? Okay? So, and the Bavli basically has the same machlokas and drashas, so those are not quite the same, and it's not interesting enough to go into the nuances of difference, but they are similar. Okay, so Naven says more maitan, Reminemakam, and Nishila says you're Nishila, and Emalon says later on, Kishal Zisecha, when your olive trees, the olives start falling off. They're stuck falling out of the tree. The olives fall out of the tree. I've got the shear, so to hear, it's stuff falling out of the tree. Meaning you hit the tree and the tree gouges a piece, and the piece of the tree gets gouged out, and it shoots at the guy and kills him. Okay? My type of the rabbi, what's the rabbi? Nemar kan shiloh, it says no shila. Nemar lahalon, it says later on, Hashem will smite out the goyim who are in front of you from before you when you conquer Israel. There's just like Nishila, and this is not in the Bavli really, just like Nishila over there is a smiting, Afghan Maka, so to here it's the smiting. So what's the thing which is smiting? In other words, the axe blade handle is doing the axe blade. So in the smiting, so that must be the thing which falls off and hits the guy. Okay? Again, it's not exactly the same drush as Bavli, but not for our purposes.
Does the Bavli also distinguish whether the axe head falls off on the downward stroke or...
Yeah, well, that's coming up. But Yerushalmi probably holds of that as well, but it's not brought down here. I don't remember if the Bavli actually goes in that detail in this case. You remember that it does?
I don't know if that's mentioned.
But it is coming up. That is coming up in the bottom of Daf Hamer Beis. If you just toss a stone blithely into the Rishus HaRabim, into the public domain, if a Horag is going to kill somebody, I raise a golet, then you go into ghosts. If once you toss the stone, Hotielos Rosho, the guy presented his head, the Kibla, he thought he was playing soccer with the stone, right? He took the stone on his head, I raise a plot to your exempt because you're Korogle. Onus, right? So it says, the way he dashed is from the pasuk of matzah, it says the stone finds the fellow. In other words, the fellow is there and the stone finds him, right? As opposed to the stone coming and the fellow finding the stone. Anyway, but then when I ask, who has permission to throw stones in the Rishus HaRabim, right? This is blatantly Karv L'mezit. On Rabbi Boon said, Tipato, you can explain, Shakoslo Goheh, where you had a wall which was about to fall down. And the lochas, of course, you're allowed to break down the wall in order to rebuild it properly. So as he's breaking down the wall, somebody passed by and it killed the person who was passing by. Okay? Which I think is similar to what the Bavli says. Zoragazemachatero, if somebody tossed a stone into his own yard, Vahorag, and that killed. If the person who was damaged, the victim, was allowed to be there at that time, gola, then the mazik is goes in the goals. The avi had no right to be there. Ain't a golden. The owner of the courtyard does not go in the goals because it wasn't his problem that this guy was there. Shemrat says, somebody who comes upon his friend in the forest. And he kills him there inadvertently. Just like before, both the mazik and the nizik have the right to go there. So too, in all situations, yotz chotzer, as opposed to a chotzer owned by a bala bais, shemesh shusla nizik, it says here lamazik, but Marshall takes out the word lamazik, shemesh shusla nizik li kones l'sham, where the don't have permission, where the person who was damaged was not supposed to have been there. Abba Sholomer, he says, just like chopping down trees is an optional activity, so too, if you kill inadvertently, of course, of any optional activity, or you go to goals. Yota, the post case of Hamakis Beno, if a father hits a son, which is a mandatory mitzvah activity, and a teacher hits a student, which is, of course, mandatory, Ushliach Basin, and the agent of Basin, who hits on half a basin, all these are mandatory activities, and therefore the person who does it is not going to ghost. Rabbi Yana said, Tabach Shumikatsev, a butcher who's cleaving, chopping, meat or bones, and he kills somebody, Bemil Mala, Bemil Mata Goyla, whether he's on the swing in front, which is really Lamato, or the swing in back, he goes into goals. Now what happened to Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida? So the Yerushalmi explains. The Asya, this is going like Kaidemar Rav Huna, like Rav Huna said. Tabach Shumikatsev, a butcher who's butchering. Vikalufanov, and he hits in front of him. Lamato, now, there's four motions actually in a swing, right? There's down in front, up in front, down and back, up and back, right? And you can keep on dissecting the motions into those four sections, right? So we need Derech Yerida, not Derech Aliyah, right? So he dissects the motions, right? He says, Tabachu Makatsavi Kolofanov Lematon on the way down, that's there Khrida Goyla. Lamalon on the way up, Ena Goyla. Laachrav, if he's going backwards, Lamalon meaning further back. Lamalon here means further back. Goyla, because that's there Khrida. Lamaton meaning going back up, which is Lamata because it's part of the general downswing, Ena Goyla doesn't go to goals. Now that's just one way of interpreting what Lamalon and Lamaton mean here. You can say there are many different ways of trying to interpret what Lamalon Lamaton means. But the bottom line is we dissect the move into four sections, and depending on how we define each of the four sections is how we, whether it goes and goes or not. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak said, very logical statement, and this I don't remember this in the Bible. Kol milo milo ledaite. Each and every situation follows its own logic. Yoshua gabi mita b'yoyim. If you sat on a mito during the day, and it seems like this is a couch, not necessarily a real bed, and it's not normal for the kid to be on the bed during the day, goyla, you're going to golus. Why? Because that's shogeg. You could have checked, but you're not that responsible, right? It's not korb l'mesid. However, balayla. If you sat on this couch at night and they put the kid to bed on the couch at night, then ain't a goyla because of why you're korov lemezid, right? Obviously, you should have looked before you sat down.
The person that has
rishus
to be in your
rishus yochid. He had rishus to be there. Very good. Very good. Agabi arisa. Aris is a crib of some sort. And the child is normally in that crib during the day, or a playpen or something. Ain't they don't go to ghost because that's pshia. But Lila, it's not usually there at night. Girl, they don't go to ghost because that is legitimate children. Now, this is the case we had above a comma already. Or if he's chopping wood in his yard. And the employee comes to get paid. Not a bakas a lot. If a piece of wood, a split, a splinter, flies in his yikoso and damages him, chayiv, you have to pay. If he makes, if he dies, ain't no goyle, you don't go to goyle. Why is that? Because damages are the more the yelo. Right? Misa, no, to go on the goals, no, it's korov lowness and you don't have to pay. Okay?
Did he know that the work was coming?
Oh, we're coming on to that. Why is that? So he says, BR, it's not like a forest, meaning that the worker shouldn't have been there. Right? Nevertheless, you're chayiv on nezek. It's like the famous case of the burglar who burgled a house and he fell off the roof, he hurt himself on the roof of the guy's house. What?
And the owner pays.
And the owner pays, right, because that's all them, the fact that he was burning your house doesn't mean you can provide with unsafe work conditions, right? So the same thing here, the fact that he was coming without permission, but still you have to be careful, right, if a person can come in. Now, that's what it seems to say. Tyro Kinil says Potter. No, you're Potter. You don't have to pay him even for damages. And it says more of a low plegan. It's not a machlokas. My the Mara Yitzchakinina, that which Rabbi Yitzchakinina said, you are liable to pay him damages. Bishaloroso. It's when you didn't see him. Im Bishaloroso, if you didn't see him, came with Trombo Likones. Once you said, come in, right, so you said, come in. And you didn't see him. Chayiv, you should be liable for goyles. Because you're not korov l'oynes anymore, right? You told the guy to come in, you don't see him. How do you go about continuing to chop wood under that circumstance? You're definitely going to goyles. Why are you parted from goyles, right? So, Imish Loro, so came in from Elohi Kones. Oh no, that's not the question. So sorry, that's not the question. Not the question of goals. The question on Rabbi Chiyo. Rabbi Chiyo says you're parted from damages. Ima shelo roso, kema chamali kanes chayov.
If you roll
or so. What? Because
that case is like roll
or so. Yeah, but so we just said.
It's an argument.
Yeah.
Talking about
Nezik,
we should talk about
the Nezik. No, we just said by the time Reb Chiya, they. Wait a second. There is no Reb Chiya here. Said before my tiny Rebbe Chiyo. There's no Rebbe Chiyo, is there? There's no Rebbe Chiyo here. What is there Rebbe Chiyo?
It's
Rebbe Chanina. Rebbe Chanina. Let me just check Bubba Kama again. It should be Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chanina is Rabbi Chiya. The same thing. So one second. Okay, I messed up. I forgot to change the gist of life and change the Bava Kama. It should be below Pligin. Going back to the first white line, below Pligin. Matamar Rabbi Yisrael Chanina Bishero. That's what it says in Baba Kama. Bisharo'u so my the tiny Rabbi Chia is Bisharo'u. Okay, that which Rabbi Yosef Chia says he's liable for the damages is when he saw him. That which Rabbi Chia says he's not, or Rabbi Chanina says he's not liable for damages where he didn't see him. I partially didn't realize you have to change your gears like you did open Baba Kama there. Okay? Imbishaloros, and then we'll ask a natural question. Imbishaloros, so if Rabbi Chania or Rabbi Chia's case, the case where he didn't see him, came in Shemelo, he kones, once he told him, come in, chayav, you should be liable. Tani Rabbi Chia potter, so how can Rabbi Chia say he's potter? Right? How can Rabbi Chia say he's potter? If you didn't see him, yet you told him, come in, so then you're negligent. You should not be potter. Came to Tzarech, the notes. It says in a fascinating thing. When I tell a guy to come into my yard, so Tzarech Lishmor Esatmo. He's got to watch himself. But yeah, I just gave permission to come into my yard. You know, I said he didn't come in, but you have to watch yourself when you come in. I assume you heard him chopping wood.
Yeah. You have to warn him. He's there always.
But what? I don't remember what the Babli said. I don't remember what the Babli says differently. I remember. Do you know what the Babli says different?
Yeah, we just covered it. I'm reading Bava Kama and Shabbos.
Yeah. And it says that he doesn't have to watch himself?
Well, no.
Maybe that's like Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina. No, you see, that's Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina. The Yisrael boy Meimar. So those who want to say, meaning Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina says, came and shomer lo yikones nasik shul chotzer shufim. Once you told him to come in, it's like becomes like he's a partner in the field, partner in the yard, and that's why you're liable for him. And now the reason why I don't go to goes is taka because you are karv lemezid. In other words, once again, so it's a different perspective. According to Rabbi Yechia, when you tell him to come in, he's got to watch himself. For Rabbi Yechia, when you tell him to come in, then you have to watch him. Okay? So it's a machlokas. Who's got to watch whom when you give him permission to come in? That's the machlokas. Okay? Rabbi Yechia B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Ha-shutfim konim zemizah, once we're on top of your shutfim, Ha-shutfim konim zemizah b'chotzer. Shutfim acquire from each other in a courtyard, meaning they can use the courtyard to make acquisitions from each other. And they prevent each other's usage in the chater. And each one's liable for the damages of the other, which is Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina's perspective, right? That you have to watch for your friend in the courtyard. Says more, very interesting, Tushtel, this is why it's brought down Baba Kama. Wait a minute. If Elohim Amar Rabim and Mali is called Shusa Rabim, then Rab say, the only time you're liable for having caused somebody damage by putting your drug in Rishusa Rabim and he having tripped over it is if you filled all of Rishusa Rabim drugs. But if you didn't fill the whole Rishusa Rabim with drugs and he can walk around, so just because he was an idiot and tried to walk over your drug, your doesn't make you chayav. It's only if you prevented any access throughout Rishusa Rabim. So here, why are you chayav for your shuta? The Zuinim Amalas go Rishusa Rabim. You're not filling the entire Rishusa Rabim. You weren't chopping wood in your entire yard. Why are you liable for him getting damaged? He should have walked around, right? It's true you gave him permission to come in, but it's no different than if somebody's going to Rishusa Rabim. Let him walk around. Since the normal derech is to walk throughout a yard, right? People don't realize they should avert certain parts of the yard. So they have a commission memalis kol chatzis if he's filling the entire yard, and therefore you're liable wherever he goes. Okay? Halachay. Have kol eidei beno. A father goes into the son through, goes into the galus by killing his son. When he does not teach, when he's not hitting him in the course of teaching him. If the son be his father. Everybody's goes when the by fellow Jews. We saw go in my day, and other Jews go to goes via them. But that's not true. If the person you hit was a Ger Toshav, then you don't go to Golus. The Ger Toshav is a goy who accepts myself the seven commandments, not a complete convert. For Ger Toshav, they Ger Toshav. But a Ger Toshav does go into Golus if he killed another Ger Toshav. Assuming you go to a blind person, doesn't go into Golus if he killed the Rav Yudah. Mayor, Golus, Mayor says, doesn't go into Golus. Assuming you go to somebody who hates somebody else, not going to Golus because you say he probably did amazing. Right? Rav Yudah, Mayor, Assuming Nera. If a person who hates another person kills that other individual, even unintentionally, you kill him. Neshu Kamur, we assume he did it intentionally. There's an amazing Gemara, but the Yerushalmi just ignores it. Rav Yudah, Mayor, depends. Some do and some don't. Koshi Yochom Adasrak, anytime we can assume was intentional. Enogol doesn't go to Golus. Vishalol Das, if we assume it's truly unintentional, then Harak, Hareza Golde, does go to Golus. Amrabi Zira, so even an enemy can legitimately and sincerely kill somebody inadvertently. Amrabi Zira, said Tan Rabbi Shiva Barbuna, said, Kapesh Namar, since it says, Goyla Dam, who? Now it says Goel Adam, but it says who? The word who was superfluous. The revenger of the blood, he shall kill the murderer. So this who is a mute. It's an exclusion. What is excluded? If somebody smote his son, Reuven killed his son, Yaakov killed his son, Reuven. Ein b'no sheni, Shimon, his other son, does not become the Goel Adam. Because you figure, the nearest relative becomes Goel Adam. So maybe the other son becomes the Goel Adam to avenge the death of his brother by killing his father. So that we don't say. The who excludes that. Eimanoshe Nasa Goel Adam Lamisa Sovim. Abel Achshore Gesovim, but a brother killed another brother. Then Achivashani, a surviving brother, the third brother, of course, Nasa Goel Adam Lamisa Sovim becomes Goel Adam to kill his brother who was the murderer. Okay, who only excludes one case? We exclude the least halachically sound case, not all cases. Now, Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, "Klapesh Nemar Goel Adam was Yemitzah Tzach." Now, according to the version we have in the Gemara, the Shai Teresol takes us all out. He says it makes no sense, and truth is, it does make very little sense. The Precarbonate has a really wacky way of learning it, but I shouldn't use the word wacky. I apologize. The Precarbonate has a very tortured way of learning it, but. It's probably better to take it out, but I'll read it for you anyway. Klapish Nehemar, he learns him and uses me to say the exact opposite. Klapish Nehemar, Goel Adam, Mishir Misarech, Harem Shikos, Beno, if somebody killed his son, Beno Asheni Nasa Goel Adam, Mishir Soviet, then the second son does become the Goel Adam. The exact opposite of what we learned before. Karmeda couldn't stomach that, so he learns Beno Asheni, here means the grandson. The grandson becomes the Goel Adam, Beno Asheni means the second generation, which is very difficult, but that's what he says. Second, the grandson can become the avenger to kill the grandfather. Not the son, the father, but a grandson can become an avenger. That's how he learns this. But it's very dachik in the language. Avalashi kills achi, but a brother kills another brother. Einach v'asheni, a second brother, as does not become einach v'asheni nase goel adam lo misis achiv. The brother does not become the avenger. And the Tzion Rishlaim here brings on a kasha from one of the cases with David and Yoav or Amosa. I forget exactly who it was, but in any event, there was a case where a brother did become an avenger of his brother's blood. Amosa and I forget who the two of them were. One of the two, Yoav was the murderer. I forget who the two brothers were. Asoel and Amosa, something like that. I forget the two of them. Anyway, since it gets Pasuk Mefurish the way it is over here in the Gemara. Be that as it may. Says Mar Minayin Afilu Amar She'ena Yochel Lakbilo. Now the way the Kreshayat Yisrael fixes this drasha to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov cuts out everything in the middle, which is difficult. Everything in the middle, all the difficult matter in the middle. I don't know if it's correct or not, but it's interesting to contemplate that. Minayin Afilu Amar She'ena Yochel Lakbilo. Several interpretations of this. Carbon Aid has a very difficult parish in this, but it's there's an interesting Pnei Moshe. The Pnei Moshe says that how do we know that if you couldn't do it immediately, that you can do it later on? Goel Adam constantly pursues the unintentional murder. Tamlo Repigo Bo, not just immediately. Repigo Bo means when you meet up with immediately, but rather you send it whenever you get a chance, even later on. Goel Adam is constantly looking to avenge the death of the person who was killed. Shaita sells another cuter shot, although I don't know if it's MS, he says, but Pigobo sounds like a Goldam can only kill the unintentional murder from the front, frontally. Pigobo means when he meets up with him. No. They hit each other. How do you know he can even stab the guy in the back? How do you know the Goldam can even stab the guy in the back? Says who he must send him. Whatever way you can kill him, avenge the other guy's death, you do it. Not just by Pigobo, by meeting up with him, but even in some roundabout way. Okay. Says Mar Vasuma, a blind person. Amar Rabbi Barba said, Matan Asuma, who's the one who said a Suma is exempt from ghosts? Rabbi Yuda. Rabbi Yuda played Shemi Kormitz, some was the Torah. Rabbi Yuda says a Suma is exempt from all mitzvahs in the Torah. The Tzniya and Tamon, we learned over there, Rabbi Yuda Mer Koshlo Ram Moris Miyamav, anybody who never saw the lights of the day, and lo yifros Shema, he doesn't say you can't daven shachris because it says yotzer over yichoshech, all that he can't daven shachris, right? For the Yom. Hoyim ra peiris. But if he did see the Moiris Miyamav, then he can read that part of shachris. Ushdeim mikra echad darshan. Says the Gemara, they both darshan the same pasuk, which is going to be difficult. Below Ra'os, if somebody comes to upon his friend without seeing him and kills him inadvertently, then Rameh Melu Rabo says Asuma. Rameh says include somebody who can't see, including a blind person. Rameh Pralu Asuma notes somebody normally sees as opposed to here he can't see, which precludes a blind person. So this is difficult because Lamaisa. It sounds like we need a special pasuk. Not that it's a p'tur called tarakula, right? Because the sumas pasuk we call mitzvah, you don't need a special pasuk of bloros to exempt him, right? Bloros sounds like, despite the fact that he's chayvim mitzvahs, over here he's pasuk because of the special pasuk, right?
It's assuming
it's
a mitzvah.
Ghost is a mitzvah?
What?
Ghost is a mitzvah. So it's a strange kind of mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah, okay? So now, Lamais and Bechavashita say, Rabbi Meir, Gemara is kind of choppy. It doesn't really deal with this properly. That was by Baba Kama, but it's not substantially different over there. Bechavashita say, it should be Rabbi Yehuda. Pnei Moshe changed it. Bechavashita say, Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir seems to contradict the Rabbi Yehuda. Tamanu Omer, over there he says, meaning by us, he says, Potter, he's exempt from goals. It's exempt from all mitzvahs in the Torah. The ko omer chayav. Over there, it sounds like he's saying asuma is liable in all mitzvahs, right? It says that it's only an exemption because he can't see the light of the sun and the stars. But it sounds like otherwise he'd be liable. So it sounds like it's chayav. So they don't do it the below ra'os thing. We'll come back to that later on. But right now we're dealing with the contradiction. If you say Mishalora Amoris Miyama Lo Yifros Esma, it sounds like he really is chayav in Shema. It's just a technicality. He never saw light. What do you mean? It just said Asuma's exempt for all mitzvahs in the Torah. So the Gemara says a very cute thing. We have this Baba Kama. It's actually several places in Shas, in the Yushalmi. It says, I'm Rabbi Chanina Braid, I changed the Patari Teres, I changed the Prat to Potter, and Rabkomer L'Chayav, instead of L'Rabos, meaning that, it sounds like here, in the case of Kishma, it sounds like Asuma's really Chayav Mitzvahs. I'm Rabbi Braid Ravil, who said, you know what? B'yeshiv B'bayis Ophelim Asnisa. That which it says, if he never saw light his entire life, he can't lead the tzibur and shema. That's somebody who's sighted, but he's lived in a dark house his entire life. He's never seen the light of day. Do you remember that at all, vaguely? It was that something like that. He's never seen the light of day, he can't reach shema. So he's takachai v'mitzvahs, because he's sighted. But he's lived in a cave his whole life, he can't read be motzi v'shema, because he never had that hanah to lead the tzibur on that praise of a Kodesh Baruch. Right? As kachanu oemrin, that's what we say. Hayesh v'bayis ofel lo yifros es shema. Okay, that makes sense, right? That's what we say. A person who sits in a bayis ofel shouldn't read shema. But yecham is sumos parted from shema for other reasons, because he's blind. Now it says mar b'ram hocha below rosa rabbis is a suma. But wait a second. Below the rose. If you say summa potter, we call mitzvahs. So why do we have this machloikus below rose, where it includes summa, excludes summa? According to Abuda, we shouldn't have such a thing. Below rose shouldn't be used for the purpose of summa, because summa is potter, we call mitzvahs, right? So my mekarbanu, what do the rabbis mean, Rabbi Yehuda? What do they do with below rose? It can't come to talk about summa and exclude a sumo, like we said before, because anyway a sumo is exempt from all mitzvahs, including goats. So below rose means lo avias amakibah laila. It means if you hit somebody at night, if you smite somebody at night, so then according to Rabbi Yehuda, you might have machlokas. Rabbi Rameir, Rameir says you're chayav in goats. Rabbi Yehuda says you're potter in goats. I'm not sure who would hold what, but lamaisa. We're going with Nango, we said before we said how Beloros Kun Rabbiuda is Prat Lusuma, that cannot be, because Rabbiuda exempts Suma because of Kol Mitzvahs Amuros Patera Suma is exempt. Rather, it has to use Beloros for something they have to do with nighttime. Okay, we'll stop here for this evening. We could read the whole next Mishnah, which is very long, but we'll leave it for tomorrow night.